You can open to Hebrews chapter 2. I have 1,000 messages in me I'd like to preach. So lock the doors. No, I'm. But at least in this season, I'm like a horse with blinders. I'm narrowly focused or laser focused. I have an assignment. I know it's only part of the Word of God. But it's a part that we're going to conquer. Maybe that's not the right word, possess. It's part of the promised land that we're going to possess. I don't care how many giants of religion stand in our way. I don't care if it causes division. I'll just tell you right now, if you either get with me or get the heck out of the way. Because I'm telling you right now, cancer is a thing of the past. We are going to rule it. Every devil is subject to us in Jesus' name. I am tired of fruitless, powerless religion. And I'm going. And give me this mountain. I'm going to be 71 next month. I'm strong. Like I'm stronger in some ways than I was when I was 40. And no is not an acceptable answer. God does not intend for us to accept it anymore. Okay. You're dismissed. There's a fire in my belly. I'm mad as hell, and I started out the year mad, and I'm still mad. I'm going to stay mad until we start walking over cancer like it's been walking over us. Amen. Amen. Well, don't. It's him. It's him. It's the gospel that Jesus bled and died for, and it's about time somebody stood up to possess the land. Amen. Oh, did I tell you to turn to Hebrews? Now, I'm just telling you right now, I'll just tell you this in advance. If you only listen to me and you only listen to Nathan right now, you're going to get weird. In a good way. But we're on assignment. Now, if you want to get a more balanced whole picture, like Paul said, I brought you the whole counsel of God. Right now, Alan is the whole counsel of God preacher here. And I am 100% on board with him. I'm telling you, you know, don't think we're preaching something different. We're not. But I am narrowly focused, and I'm going to, I'm not really a racehorse, I'm the ox. You know, if you want to really get the job done, you don't get the thoroughbred. Now, they're flashy and good to look at, but it's the ox, bless God, that harvests the corn. It's the ox that plows the field and gets the stones out. And I'm happy to be a good old ox and just keep it going. You know? Man, what did I eat this morning? Glory to God. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It's really hard for me anymore because of the teaching that Dave gave us and assimilating the word. It is really hard for me to start off a lesson with therefore. You notice how that verse starts off, therefore? So, you know, what they say, when you find the therefore, you need to find out what it is therefore. Well, let's just go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. So one time the Lord, this was at the ugly building. I know when it was. I can remember the day as clear as anything. When he summarized the whole book of Hebrews for me in these two verses. And he says, start reading Hebrews, and I'll tell you when to stop. So I'm going to do that with you. And he said, that's the whole book. Now, there's a lot of details, but this is the summary of the whole book. So I started reading, and I'm going to say stop where he told me to stop. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Stop. Now you either believe that or you don't believe that. This is a letter to the Hebrews, who grew up under the law. How do I please God, mommy and daddy? Well, you keep the law. God gave the law to Moses, and you keep it. And if you break it, you offer the sacrifice, and that's how you please God. But somebody came and preached Christ and him crucified. And they wound up going into a better covenant, established on better promises. And they got born again. Well, then all hell came against them to turn them back from that. So the pressure that's being put on these Hebrew Christians is to disregard what Jesus said and go back under the law of Moses. And that's why this is the summary of the whole book. Hebrews, if you go back under the law, what you're really doing, you're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You're denying what he bled and died for. You're denying the words that he brought from the Father. You either believe what he said or you don't believe what he said. And that is the whole book. Now go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, because of what the Son has said to us in these last days, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Heard from who? Heard from the Son. Lest at any time we should let them slip. This year, okay, you can look up at me now. Don't keep reading. How did Dave say that? Now, when I'm talking, that's not the time to be reading. You can read at home. Hallelujah. See, he's agreeing. That's still good doctrine. Okay. Now, most of you know this year, we have been on a journey. Last year, we lost more than three, but three in particular that, for me, was a watershed moment. We lost them to cancer. Just in case somebody's only hearing this message and they don't know the history, we lost three people that had given their lives to God. As far as we know, there wasn't any sin involved. I don't know anybody perfect. I'm not trying to put them up on pedestals, but I'm just telling you, those three, you're never going to convince me ever it was God's will that any of them died of cancer. Now, you'll just never be able to do it. And I prayed for them. Dave prayed for them. You prayed for them many, multiple times. I anointed. Somebody said, well, you didn't anoint them with oil. Yeah, I did too. You just wasn't there when I did it. I anointed them with oil. Prayed for them in the line, prayed for them at home, got intercessors praying around the world, and they still died, and that the devil is rubbing our nose in it. Saying, I killed them, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Now, that's the way I took it. It made me mad. Now, you've got a choice. See, when that kind of thing happens, and you've been at it a long time, you're either going to tuck tail and run, or you're going to say, I'm just going to be a nice little Christian now. You know, I'm just going to go to church and give my money and try and live nice. Or it could make you so mad that my Savior bled, died, took a whipping, a scourging, if you haven't heard that lesson. Gave us his name, power, and authority to stop those very things from happening. And yet we can't seem to walk in it. For me, it just made me mad. And I said, God, you're going to have to show me this. And even when I say that, I don't mean that it's him holding back what I'm saying. Because he's been going, if you'll let me show you this, you can stop it. See, I grew up the way, I shouldn't probably do this, but I'm going to anyway. I don't know what camp you grew up in. I don't know how you started off. Now, as I say this, I don't mean to be demeaning the Baptist. Thank God for the Baptist. There's going to be tons and tons and tons of people in heaven because of the Baptist. God needs somewhere where every Sunday, pretty well, almost every Sunday you can count on it, you can go to that church and get saved. You'll hear that gospel, and they've been harvesting people forever, and I thank God for that. But then right on the other hand, see, where in the churches I grew up in, whenever anybody said, well, we need to pray for a sister Junebug. I don't know. I don't want to pray for sister Junebug, you know. Now, here's the kind of prayer. And it sounds okay, you know. It's all I ever saw. Now, even before I say that, let me say this. Those people are a salt of the earth people. They love people. They will make food for you if you're sick. They'll nurse you. They'll come clean your house. They'll change your bandages and change your bed and take you to the doctor and bring you home. That's good. But that's all I ever saw. I never saw one person in decades ever get healed. By the power of God. If they got healed, it was by the power of the doctor. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? I don't ever remember one. And the part of the reason was the prayer. Need to pray for Sister Junebug. All right? Here's the prayer. Father, we pray for Sister Junebug that you would heal her if it be thy will. Okay? Now I'm going to change that a little bit. Would you come up here and be Sister Junebug? Isn't she a good-looking Sister Junebug right there? And my wife is sitting right here. I'm not flirting, okay? And what I say then is, it ain't bragging if it's so. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. I'm a truth teller. Now, Sister Junebug is not feeling good, okay? Now, can I rephrase that a little different? The enemy is trying, if he has his way, he is trying to kill Sister Junebug. Okay, now it may start off small, but if he has his way and it runs full course, he'll die. All right? Now, I know you. She's the one that came and asked prayer for Sister Junebug. Now, she's asked for prayer. I'm the minister. Okay? So, just would you pray for Sister Junebug? See, she's asking me for prayer. And say, well, sure, let's agree right here. Now, I'm going to change it. The way they normally say is, Father, please pray, please heal Sister Junebug, if it be thy will. Is that what you're familiar with? What if I phrased it like this? I'm happy to pray for Sister Junebug, but you got to understand I don't know God at all. I have almost no relationship with him. I have no idea whether he wants to heal Sister Junebug or doesn't want to heal Sister Junebug. And I sure don't know, even if it is his will, you know, I haven't been walking the way I should be walking all this week. And so I don't know if there's a lick of... I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's pray like this. Father, we're just going to pray your will for her. And if you heal her, we got to answer. And if you don't heal her, we got an answer. That keeps us safe. That keeps us safe. But that's our definition of the prayer of faith. What do you think? Did you hear that? Y'all can be seated. See, it's real people. Now, this lady over here, her Sister Junebug, her life might, I mean, she may be it. Now, you'd never believe it about her, but maybe she's a, maybe she don't know, maybe she's never even heard of Jesus. She's a total unbeliever. She has no faith at all. But the devil's going to kill her with cancer if something doesn't happen, or some damnable disease. Now, you got to understand, as the minister, you guys are all moving from that ministry side of the line to the minister side of the line. And I don't mean in a pulpit ministry necessarily, but on your job, at Walmart, at school, whatever you do, you are the temple of God wherever you are. This lady's life can depend on your prayer. Do you know him or do you not know him? Do you know his will or do you not know his will? Will he answer your prayer or will he not? But the last thing I'm going to do is say, I don't know him. I don't know his will. I don't know whether he'll heal you. He may just let you die, but let's pray. Haven't we had enough of that? Yes. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, we've had a year where a focused, laser-focused teaching on healing. And I've not just, you know, I've gone to resources, people that I trust like John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, others who not only had the healing working in their own ministry, but were able to train up other people, especially John G. Lake. He was one of the best ones at getting other people able to do this. So we've got, for a year, we've been teaching specifically the truth about divine healing. Okay? Now, preparing for today's lesson, what I was getting is these things that we've been hearing for a year. See, let's just say it truth. If everything that's been taught here for a year, if you're not different, if it doesn't change you, you might as well have gone to the movies. Because they're just going to keep dying. Isn't that true? So he had me start looking back over the list again. The things that have been taught this year, I can't possibly touch them all, but let's hit some highlights. See, it started off, one of the early messages was healing is in the atonement. You remember those? Healing is in the atonement. And we had two messages, part one and part two. But a lot of those messages included that truth, especially in the first quarter of the year. Healing is in the atonement. Well, what does that mean, Brother Gary? Well, salvation is in the atonement. What's his will concerning salvation? He is not willing that any should perish. You know his will when it comes to people being saved. You don't hesitate at all. You never go, Father, is it your will to save this person? But if healing is in the atonement, which it is, exactly the same way that salvation is in the atonement, then you never ever have to ask, is it your will to heal them? It is his will. Now that for you legalists, I'm not looking at anybody. The only exception I can find at all is like 1 Corinthians, where the guy had his father's wife and he got turned over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh until he learned to repent. Okay? See, once you give an exception like that, everybody goes, well, that's me. I'm the exception. He'll heal everybody but me. Dear Lord, are you living in adultery with somebody else's spouse and doing it openly in the church like it's okay where everybody knows it? I mean, that was the situation. And I don't even know anybody like that. I'm sure there are some, but I don't know any. And I'm pretty sure you're not one of them. See, you start talking to people about healing and you can tell where they're from. They don't. You say, what about healing? Well, I know there was Paul's thorn. I know there was that guy that got turned over to the flesh. Over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. Let's see, Paul left somebody sick somewhere. I don't remember who it was or where it was, but I know he left somebody sick. Oh, and Paul's eyes, you know. I heard a preacher say one time Paul had these eyes. And see, if we had time, we can debunk every single one of those. Not one of those is true, not one. But do you ask that? But everybody knows those, the exceptions. You ask that same person, give me your favorite five healing scriptures right now. You hear that silence? That's the same way. Most of them can give you one. They sure can't give you five. But they normally know the five little exceptions, you know, in the Word of God. Okay. Healing is in the atonement. Don't let that slip. Get it in you. What that means? That means it's His will. You never have to pray again, Father, heal them if it be Thy will. It's in the atonement. Listen to that message again about scourged for your healing. The other one about the stripes of mercy. Man, the price has been paid. The price has been paid. Don't let it slip. It's so easy. Sue and I said something last week about God dealing with my prayer life. And Sue says, gee, I hope they don't think we don't pray over prayer requests, which is a good thought. Now, we pray over multiple people pray over every prayer request that comes into the ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our private prayer life with the Lord. And I'm talking about when you go to minister yourself. See, no soldier would ever win a war if he did not know he was backed by the government he's fighting for. We're not going to win this war over sickness till you get it straight. Heaven is on your side. And heaven is against sickness. And the Holy Ghost will back you up when you pray. And when you speak in His name, that's what the Holy Ghost is here for. Way to go, Lord. Hallelujah. It's His word. My job's easy. I just get to say what He says. It's His will. It's always His will. You don't have to. If I had 100 people here that responded, if today was a salvation message and 100 people responded, none of us would go down there going, oh, Father, do you want to heal? You want to save this one and not this one? Do you want to save this one and not this one? We wouldn't think that for a minute. You'd know we've been well taught when it comes to salvation, His will is to heal them all. His will is to save them all. Since healing is in the atonement exactly the same way, and if you don't know that, go back and listen to those messages. We went through Isaiah. We went through Matthew, showed it from the scriptures. It's healing is in the atonement exactly the same way salvation is in the atonement. So if you had 100 people in a prayer line, what's His will for all 100? Amen. His will to heal every single one of them. Amen. All right. This is a long list. I better go a little faster. Number two. So number one I've got on here is healing is in the atonement. Subheading, it's His will for all to be healed. You got that? Number two, we have power and authority in the name of Jesus over all devils. Amen. And I don't care how bad the manifestations are. I don't care if they wallow on the ground, foam at the mouth, gnash with their teeth, cuss at you, growl at you, speak with a guttural voice. When the 70 came back to give the report, they said they were astonished. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, if you look that word subject up, it means exactly what it sounds like. They are the slave and you are the master. When you speak, they obey. That's it. Every time. Now, they may do manifestations trying to move you off of your faith like they did with the nine that couldn't cast the devil out of that lunatic boy. That devil did the same thing with Jesus, but it didn't move him. He stood his ground and that boy got free. You stand your ground, they'll get free when you pray too. We don't want to let that slip. Go to Luke 9:1. No, don't turn there now. But for your reference, Luke 9:1 and Luke 10:1. Are the 12 and the 70, where He gave them power and authority over all devils. Oh, and by the way, and to cure diseases. So, well, that was the 12 and the 70. And then in Mark 16, He says, everyone who believes will cast out devils. You can't do that unless you've got authority. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God, who in divers manners, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Do you believe it? Isn't it time to believe it? Aren't we called believers? Amen. We have, number three, no matter what you've seen, no matter how many have died when you prayed, it'll never change. Number three, we have power to cure diseases. We have power to cure diseases. Here you go, Mark 16. But they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now I'm going to be nice today and not ask for a show of hands. That since you've heard this preaching this year, and I know there's some that's changed. We got a report from a wonderful friend, minister of mine in the Detroit area. He just left a little text or a voice message. And he said, I just want you to know that there's 5 bona fide healings in my church that I don't think we would have had it not been for those messages this year. Well, hopefully that's happening around the world. Amen. And it's not anything. It's His word. It's His word. The anointing is on the word. Yeah. Amen. We have power to cure diseases. We pray for this. Oh, so I'm not going to do it and don't raise your hand. See, hopefully there's many that are taking it to heart like that. Amen. Because the question is, dear heart, don't raise your hand. But if I was going to be mean today. Well, have you laid hands on anybody this year? good. I said, you don't have to nod or anything, because that leaves the other ones going. I'm telling you, if we get a taste of this, see, the devil has to nip this in the bud. Because when you get a taste of it, there's no stopping you. And when you get one healed, where is the next one? Where is the next one? I see the hospitals being emptied now. Dave's prophesied it for years, but I see it. Where's the next bed? Where is the next bed? Where's the next bed? You are a believer. Quit letting the devil tell you you're not. See, it says, those that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. Well, are you a believer? Now, during this service, you'll say yes. It's a whole different thing on cold Tuesday. And you thought your car wasn't going to start that morning. The wife burnt your toast, which mine never does. I'm just trying to say you had bad cat, you know, cat loved on you and the dog bit you as you went out the door. Ah, man, Alan in here. Anyway. What I'm saying is you had a bad day. And suddenly you're faced with somebody who's dying of cancer or anything else. Now, are you a believer? Yeah, you are. Quit letting the devil tell you you're not. See, what happens is at that moment you want to feel something. You don't need to feel something. You need to know something. See, that's what faith is. Faith believes God's word. You could go back to all of those Hall of Faith people, all of them in Hebrews 11. If they were moved by what they saw, none of them would accomplish nothing. And we told Noah it's going to rain for 40 days, or all those 40 days. The first question, Lord, what is rain? Because if you read it, it said the earth was watered by mist in those days. He had never seen rain. What's rain? You know? What about Abraham? I want you to take your son, offer him as a burnt sacrifice, take a knife and plunge it right into his heart. No wonder Abraham's called a friend of God. You talk about believing. And I don't think Abraham had an anointing. Oh, I feel the anointing. I think what he thought was in the natural, my son will die. And he would have died. But Abraham had a faith in something he couldn't see. Because God had already promised through that boy right there, you're going to have so many children, it'll be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. And he didn't have any children yet. So Abraham goes, he's going to have to raise him from the dead. Amen. See, there was no anointing. There was no feeling. It's the God that Abraham knew. Well, believers know Jesus. Amen. We know what he said. Therefore what? The Son has come and spoken to us. The Son has promised, if you lay hands on the sick in my name, they'll recover. Now, are we going to believe that or not? We might as well go back under the law if we're not going to believe it. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. You either believe it or you don't. And I understand. I don't want to be one of those that gives false hope to people. And I don't want to pray and leave them like they are. That's on me. But I am not going to pray and say something like, I'll pray for him to heal you if it be his will. Because that makes me just a liar. I know what his will is. I know what his will is. Now, there's parts of me that he's still working on. I hope there's parts of you he's still working on. But let's don't go backwards. Let's go forward. Amen. Possess the land. Say, well, I don't have any boldness. I got a prayer for you. It's Acts 4. Go ahead and look at it. Acts 4. Look at verse 29. Say, well, I'm timid and I'm afraid and I'm just mousy me. Well, no, you're a warrior in the army of God. You're not who you think you are. You have Christ on the inside of you. You got the Holy Ghost upon you, and all things are possible. That's who you are. No, I'm timid, and I'm mousy, and I'm a scared. Y'all know what a scared is? If you're from the South, you're a scared. You know. Acts 4, verse 29. And they just got through being threatened big time. Here comes the devil, see? You stop preaching in the name of Jesus. That's what he's trying to get you to do. Now, it may not have brought you in before the council, but that's what that same devil is telling you all the time. You stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You stop it. Now, this is a good prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. How are you going to have boldness? Lord, grant us boldness by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the devil was so afraid, and God was so pleased with that prayer. If you read the next verse, it said, they didn't shake, the building shook. I've seen believers shake. I'm telling you, the presence of God is coming where the building is going to shake. Amen? I believe he answers that. I know he answered that prayer then. I believe he answers that prayer now. Grant with all boldness that I may speak forth thy word, that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And that's really what Jesus promised anyway. Mark 16, you go in my name, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. He told us in John 14, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And then he backs it up a second time. He hardly ever repeats himself twice in two consecutive verses, but he did there. I'm telling you, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. In divers manners, the Lord spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. It is time to believe what he said. Therefore, let these things slip. Let us not let them slip. You want prophecy, do you? It's going to be a rough year on your flesh. This may be the most severe fasting season we've ever entered. And you know how I feel about fasting. Now, if I'm saying that, you know God's serious about this. All right. Let's look at another one. See, these are things that's already been preached this year. But if you don't do something different, if we don't do something different than we have done, we will not be changed. To go somewhere we've never been, we got to do stuff we've never done. See? All right. Now, we started off early in the year about John G. Lake's testimony on that bubonic plague. Many of you heard it and enjoyed it, and that's a nice history lesson. You know what history is? If you don't learn from history, you're destined to repeat it. So let's learn something from history, okay? The bubonic plague in South Africa was killing them by the thousands. Well-meaning people went and would try to help. You know, with medical and other ways trying to help these people. Thank God for compassion. I do thank God for loving people and wanting to help. But what would happen? The ones that came to help, they would get the bubonic plague and they would die. Except for John G. Lake and one helper that he had. And they just kept helping and they didn't get the plague. And they kept helping and they didn't get the plague. And finally word began to spread and a missionary doctor group come over and they're going... They thought maybe they had some secret potion or some secret cure. So how is this happening? Everybody else that comes and tries to help with this, they wind up getting the plague and dying. But you and your fella, you don't ever die of it. What's going on? John's answer. I remember the first time I ever heard this. I'd never heard it preached that way in my life. He said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, to their medical mind, that didn't mean much. He says, tell you what. He says, take some froth from one of their mouths, get a microscope, look at that before you put it on my skin. Look at it, you'll find it's teeming with the plague. You put it on my skin and watch what happens. Soon as that froth touched his skin, they had a microscope of some kind. Soon as it touched his skin, all of it died. Instantly, he said, the life of Christ on the inside of me is life, and it kills death. So death can't be killed. Yeah, it can. In that sense, it can. See, all sickness, all dis-ease is a result of the fall. It was never God's plan. It was never God's plan. Never was it in the mind of God that anybody ever die of anything, much less germs. See, in that lesson, you'll find out, I went back and studied Jesus' life. You know, Jesus had a body just like yours. Some preachers preach he had a different kind of body. That's a lie. No, he had a body exactly like yours. If you'll allow me, it had fallenness in it. See, his spirit came from God. His life in him came from God. But his body came through the line of Mary, which went all the way back to Adam. So his body had, can I say, the motions of sin? It had death in it. It was mortal, like the body you're wearing. Exactly. So that means it was subject, the body itself was subject to sickness, the same as anybody else's. But I cannot find a record anywhere, even when Jesus was little, that he ever was sick. But I know if the devil is still the devil had to attack him. Well, what kept him from getting sick? It's that law of the spirit of life that was already in him, repelled sickness out of him. It would die, or the germs would literally die when they would try and attack his body. This was a hard pill for me to swallow. I got to tell you, my engineering mind has had some trouble with this. But I've been studying it, and I am at that place now where I believe it. Now, Sue can tell you, for all our, we've been married 42 years, and this time of the year, the season changes. Now, see, I even know as soon as I say what I'm about to say, the enemy's going to try my ground. Okay, that's okay. Let's go. Come on. But during season changes, I tend to get what you call fever blister or cold sores. They're ugly, horrible things. You never want to eat a French fry with one of those. That salt, whew, you know. And I've been prone to get them my whole life. Okay, well, you just live through it, and you put the salve on, and you do whatever, you know. It takes about a week and a half, and they go away. I've preached with, looked like a caterpillar on my lip, you know. It was a big old fever blister. Well, I've had those since I started preaching this year. Even when those things, and there's been, I don't know how many, six, seven, eight times this year, you can tell when that first little twinge comes. See, I'm not the only one. That first little twinge, and you know where it's going to show up, don't you? I mean, at the first twinge this year, every time, I've said, no! In Jesus' name, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. You leave my body now. And sometimes I'd have to do it more than once. But I have not had a fever blister since I started doing that. This very week, I've had a couple of them try and come on me this very week. Y'all know we got a big front coming, right? My body always knows that. See? And in the past, that's the time, about 2 days before one of those comes in, where my body would do that. No! The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I believe that worked in Jesus' body. I believe it worked in John. By the way, it didn't just work in John G. Lake's body. He got it working in his helper's body. See, this is for every believer. So we need to get sickness. That law. See, how did I write this? That life in you. Now, see, scientifically, they'll laugh you out of the classroom. But I'm telling you, the life that's in you from God will kill germs. Amen. It will keep your body well. But you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to speak it. Then, why did he give you the Holy Ghost? See, Jesus walked without sickness for 30 years, as far as I can tell. But also during that 30 years, he never got anybody else healed. Now comes the ministry of the Holy Ghost. See, that sickness, it will attack you, and the life of Christ in you can repel sickness from your body. But there's nothing in you that can really transfer that life to somebody else. But having you know, there's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, that's Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What heaven wants to write is,
how God was with every believer that heard this message, and they went about doing good, healing every sickness and every disease that were being oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. What God? God the Holy Ghost. And he ministers that life beyond your body now. That's why believers lay hands on the sick and through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So I don't understand all that. I don't have to understand it. I just know, I just need to believe what the Son has said to us. So when it says, therefore, everything that I'm saying here is what the Son has said. This is the gospel. This is the life. Yes, sir. So don't let it slip. When your body gets attacked, first line of defense, you start taking authority over it in Jesus' name. Then if somebody you know gets attacked, now you've got the baptism and the Holy Ghost. Get your behind over there. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. Lay hands on them and expect them to rise up healed. So what if they die? It will not change the gospel of Jesus Christ. They probably was going to die anyway. Sorry. One preacher put it this way. Do you lay hands on the sick? Well, I used to. Were you used to? Yeah. Well, why? What happened? I laid hands on the sick and they died. So I don't lay hands on the sick anymore. Well, he said, do they still die? Oh, yeah, they die. Well, now let me see now. In the beginning, you were being obedient and they died. Now, you're not being obedient and they're dying. Do you think that's better? Well, what's better is to lay hands on them and they recover. We're not going to get there by not doing what he said. Now, how we do it exactly, Angie and I have been having this discussion this very week. I've had it with Alan too. I don't want to give people false hope. I really don't. See, I don't want to be one of those that comes and I declare you're healed and walk off and get in the car and go have a latte and they didn't get healed at all. We've had a belly full of that too. Sadly, Gary, is that where you are pretty much? Is that where you're going to stay? No. But I am not going to pray, Father, heal them if it be thy will. No. It is his will. I know it's his will. Yes, sir. I left that one off of here. See, Sue and I, because of years and years of habit or practice, we still catch ourselves. Somebody helps us get it. We get prayer requests all the time. And that's okay. That's part of what ministers do. Send your prayer requests. And we've had some. Hey, our percentage of answered prayer is going up. Angie's keeping a log. It's getting higher all the time. And it's going to keep, I think 100% is where we need to be. But anyway, it's getting higher. But see, because of patterns, so we get a prayer request. It usually comes through the computer. And please pray for my mother. She's been diagnosed with Zama-Zama. Well, like my one friend says, she has the black crud and the creeping mucus. That's bad. Whenever you got the black crud and the creeping mucus, that's bad, isn't it? Okay. Maybe it was the creeping crud and the black mucus. I think anyway, it's bad, right? And we'll catch ourselves because of old patterns. Kind of agree, and we'll put the paper right here. And I'll start off in the name of Jesus. And because of old habit, I'll start saying, now, Father. And I go, wait a minute. The teaching that came this year. You will never find Jesus ever once praying like that for the sick. People go, oh, you probably haven't heard the lessons that we went through. I took you through 40 some odd miracles that he did. And never once did he pray like that. Never once did he pray, Father, heal them. No. He would take the authority that he had been given. And he would command the sickness to go. Or he would give a command like, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And so we'll catch ourselves. We'll start to pray. And we'll go, oh, Father, we lift up. Oh, no, wait. Reset. In the name of Jesus. In the name. And so you want to see her do it. She can do it too. You know. Cancer be gone. Black locust go in Jesus' name. Creeping crud, get out. Because he didn't tell us to go pray for the sick. He did not tell us that. He said, you go heal them. Bless God, that's exactly, see, the Son in these last days has spoken to us, and that's what he said, and that's what we're going to do. We're weak amens, right? That's what he said, and that's what we're going to do. Amen. Thank you, hallelujah. One time I was listening to Bronk, and it was one of those real quiet messages, you know, like Nathan's. And he says, can I buy an amen for $5? So I kept listening to the message, and I texted him after, and I said, I amened every sentence you said. Please send me a check for $500 now. I gave you 100 amens, $5 a piece. He's told me the check's in the mail, but I'm still waiting there. We don't want to let these things slip. You see what it says? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Heard from who? Heard from the Son. Now, this year, specifically what we've heard, the Son has said and taught us about dominion over sickness and disease. Specifically this year. We're also going to look at sin. I'm going to enter into Nathan's camp for just a moment. Okay? But notice, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's in your Bible because it's real easy to do. You can let it slip and next year not be any different than the year before this one. That is not going to happen. Amen. Let's talk about communion. See, people say, why did so-and-so die? That was a good Christian person. Played piano in the church for 20 years. I don't understand. You know, you don't find many places so specific in the Word of God as you do where Paul is talking about teaching about communion. And he's really just repeating what the Lord said. But in that one, he says, for this cause. He gets real specific. Why do so many good Christians die? For this cause. Many, not a few, many are weak and sickly. And some have died, some sleep, which means they died early. What was the cause? For this cause. And he tells you in the next statement, not rightly discerning the Lord's body. Now, I can't reteach all of communion. Y'all remember that communion series? Do you remember scourged for your healing? His body broken for you, which actually he paid for your healing before he paid for your sin. The scourging post was on the way to the cross. Amen. You got that? He paid for your healing before he even paid for your sin. And communion is the time when we are to remember. He said, this do in remembrance of me. In other words, you need to remember. You don't get healed because you deserve it. You don't get healed because you had a good week or a bad week. You don't get healed for any other reason than by his stripes. Another paid the price for you. Another. I'll never forget the day. You can meditate the word of God. I don't know if it works like this for you, but for me, it eventually becomes a movie. It begins to play in my mind, and I can see it. And I saw a vision of him being scourged. I mean, it was bad. It wasn't a Jewish 39 lashes thing. It was a Roman scourging where that thing had bone and lead and rocks in the leather. And I saw bones on his back exposed and his skin was hanging off like sleeves on a shirt. And even some of those lashes had got his face and just, it did, you know, Isaiah says he was so marred, he didn't even look like a man anymore. He looked like something else. Is that a deer? What is that? Couldn't hardly tell it was human. And I'm seeing it. It took life. It took a life of a movie on the inside of me. And he just turned that bloody face. And he says, do you believe? I'm willing to heal you now. God. That's remembering. rightly discerning the Lord's body broken for you. Smith Wigglesworth got to the point where he took communion every day. There's no scripture for that. I'm not saying anybody has to do that. But Smith Wigglesworth had some of the most astounding miracles ever to grace the planet. So the question is, have you let communion slip? I mean, we do it here occasionally at the church. Transparency, I've let it slip some. He's reminding me where he's taken us. How many of you know I need a strong body? I need to take communion more often than I am. I've made up my mind. We're going to have us a little communion thing there at the house. And maybe not every day, but I'm not going to let many days go by. I want to remember what he did for me. Remember, take that communion, rightly discern the Lord's body. I don't want to be one of those that for this cause, Gary is sick and weakly. No, I rightly discern the Lord's body, broken for me. He did that for me, that I could walk free. So let's talk about free from sin for a moment. Was it Wednesday night I did a message? I did a message sometime. I can't remember the titles. Sorry. Brethren, if you ever watched three videos, one of them has come out from among them. The second one was Holiness is Your Choice. Do y'all remember, anyone remember the third one? What is it?
Something about grace.
Oh, the true power of grace. The true power of grace. That I think they're the three most recent ones I've done. If it's possible, please watch those. Don't just listen. There is so much more to come on those. But verses that I've wondered about for my whole Christian life are just exploding because of those three teachings. You'll understand a lot better about love, not the world, neither the things in the world. The lust of the eyes, the pride of the life. None of these are even of the Father. They're not even of the Father. You give your life to that. Anyway. He's calling us into a more narrow walk.
Amen.
Even you may already say, my walk is pretty narrow. Honey, it's about to get more narrow than that. See, the truth is, Dave told us 20 years ago, if you're sinning, it's because you want to. You never have to sin again. And the way that the Lord presented that through those three videos, I can't escape them now. And I don't want to escape them. Turn to 1 John. You don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. Gary, do you ever? Going back to 1 John. Now, he wrote the letter. He tells you why he wrote it. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Why write that if it was impossible not to sin? I mean, he writes it because you don't have to sin. But thank God for the rest of the verse. And if any man sin, oh, thank you, Lord. Mercy rejoices against judgment, thank God. But now his best is that you don't sin. Are we in agreement? Nathan, am I okay? We don't have to. Dave, am I okay? We don't have to. But if you do, don't you ever forget, you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. See, and this is chapter 2. This is even after 1 John 1:9. Where if any man sin, if you confess that sin, That blood of Jesus is there to cleanse you, wash you. He'll not only forgive you, but he'll even restore you to full righteousness like you had never sinned. Thank God that we have an advocate with the Father. But see, now my goal in the future, and I'm sure it is yours too, I don't want to have to go to my advocate nearly as often as I have in the past. See, because let's keep reading. I started to preach it and he said, just read it. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby, now see, and he's not through talking yet. Well, I just sinned. I had to go get an advocate. I had to get Jesus to be my lawyer again. I had to go to the blood one more time. But now hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, himself also so to walk, even as he walked. The church I grew up in they'll read the verse, but if you preach it, they'll throw you out. Who do you think you are that you could walk like him? Now I'm bold enough, I'd probably say back, who do you think you are to deny the word of God? You know more than the Apostle John, do you? You walk with Jesus closer than him, did you? We are supposed to walk. Is that in your Bible? Yes. See, if I was to take an inventory, don't anybody raise their hand. But how many of you are in him? Ooh, all the hands go up. Are you walking like he walked? All the hands go down. But now Jesus is bringing us to, well, say Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are bringing us exactly there. I want to say it in a way that makes some people mad. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at her because I'll never make her mad. Laser. No. Look at you, Senator. It'll make some people mad. You know what that means? Walk as he walked. God expects you to be Jesus to this generation. Not taking anything away from him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything, he gets all the glory. Amen? But that's exactly what, in the same way that he come and displayed the Father to the world, we are supposed to go and display Jesus to the world. That's what I mean. Walk as he walked. Holy Spirit said it to me one time this way. He says, we are to walk as he walked, talk as he talked, and have the same results that he had. And is that not exactly what he said in John 14? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. That's okay. My hour is up. So continuing. For a few minutes. Just a few minutes. Hey, we're getting close to the end of the year, okay? I want to talk to you about daily. We may have another. I may expand on this tonight. But he's been talking with me here lately about daily. He says, go back. Remember, we don't want to let these things slip. What Jesus said to us. Go to Matthew 6 just for a moment. I better do it too. Matthew 6. Because it's real easy to let things slip. Not Mark. Matthew. Mark 6 is good, but Matthew 6 is what we want. Matthew 6 has what I call the when you's in it. Not the if you's. It has the when you's. What do you mean by that? Look at verse 2. When thou doest thine alms. See that? Not if you do it. When you do it. Now, alms is different than giving to the church. He's not even talking about that right here. Alms is when you give to the poor. Jesus did it all the time. He would send Judas out with the bag, and he did it so often that when Judas got up and left at the Last Supper, they thought he'd gone to give money to the poor. Why would they think that? Because he did it all the time. But see, Jesus, there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Interpretation. Stick with what I told you. Otherwise, I won't keep you here too long. Matthew 6:11. Let's just go there. I'm just going to do what he told me. Now, if you underline, we're talking about daily. These are some of the things our Lord told us to do. Okay? We don't want to let them slip. Look at 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. You see that? All right. Go to Luke 9:23. Now, while you're turning there, when it says daily bread, in Matthew 6, he expounds on your personal provision. No man can serve two masters. He'll bow down to, you can't serve God and mammon. You'll either serve the one, love the other, and so forth. But in Matthew 6, when he's talking about bread, he's primarily talking about your provision. Okay? I said Luke 9. Go over to Luke 11 first, and we'll come back to Luke 9. Now, Luke 11 is almost exactly, verse 3 is almost exactly the same thing, where it says, give us day by day. Is that not daily? Give us day by day our daily bread. But in Luke 11, he's not really so much talking about your bread. He's talking about you delivering bread to others. Isn't that right? See, and if we had time, we'd go to Matthew 15:26, where Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. So when he says, give us, see, God is wanting a daily walk with us. He wants to be in on this. If I had time in Matthew 6, which he's not letting me do much on it, he says, when you do the giving, the when you's are this, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Those are the when you's, not the if you's. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, not if, when you fast. All of those are to be done in secret. He's not talking. He said, do these things just you and your Father. See, well, there's no glory in that. Yeah, there is from him. And he gets all the glory anyway. Amen? See, he wants a daily walk with us. He wants to be involved. When you're taking money over to somebody that doesn't have it, somehow he alerted you or let you know it, and you know that they don't have it, and you've got it, and so you're taking it. Nobody's supposed to know that but you and him. But he wants to be involved. He wants talk about it with him. Hey, him. Hey, Father, enjoy this. So I don't get any glory from men. You don't need any glory from men. When you fast, what did Jesus say? Don't mark your face. And see, knowing that they didn't, he wasn't preaching to women there. The men would put some kind of makeup on their face. I'm fasting. Look how sad I am. Yeah, they'd mark themselves. When they'd give, I never forget that when I heard Dave do this, it sounded a trumpet. Dun da da dun da da da, dun da da dun da da da. Everybody gather around, I'm about to give. Or they go to the street corner to make long prayers to be seen of men. No. We got a daily walk with him when it comes to your prayer life. Boy, I can barely touch on this. Now, one more. Then the other part that he's been talking with me about, he gets on me, I get on you, that's the deal, is not just praying in tongues. Dear Lord, we have lots of messages on that, but he's dealing with me right now about praying in your known language. And he just asked me, are you praying for your president? When did you pray? The way he asked me, he didn't let you off the hook real easy. Tell me about your prayer. He said, tell me about your prayer life. No. I don't want to. Tell me about, when's the last time you prayed for your president? And I'm going, well, I see, I didn't pray today, this morning. I don't think I prayed. I know I didn't pray yesterday. I'm not sure I prayed 3 days ago. I'm letting it slip. And we're plainly told in the Word of God to pray for our leaders. Pray for them that we can lead godly and peaceable lives. Well, boy, our president needs some help. And not just him, all the people. I mean, you know, there's some problems in the world. Ever hear of Korea? North Korea? Ever hear of Iran? Ever hear of Middle East? I think they could use some prayer. And that praying is in your known tongue. See? So he's been communion. He's dealing with me about that. Praying for our leaders. We did a survey. And how about praying? Because that's our government leaders. How about praying for our spiritual leaders? Right. We need to be praying for Pastor Dave. Yes. Praying for the whole family. Yes. Daily. So today's message. Let not these things slip. Let's let the year 2017 and the things that the Lord taught us, let that be a bellwether year where we can see afterwards the change that it brought to our lives. Let's not let these things slip.